Good morning to Radio Economica this Thursday morning. We are, my colleague and I, very happy to have with us Jorge Valero, who's going to introduce quite innovative action by the European Central Bank about digital euro. Could you please tell us, Mr. Valero, why the ECB is becoming interested in this idea and what a digital euro could be?
Yes, good morning all. Good morning, Catherine. Indeed, this digital euro, it's a fascinating project. We have to say that this is not only a project being developed by the central bank here in Europe, but it's something ongoing in many parts of the world. And potentially it could represent a huge earthquake for the financial system, but it could also bring enormous benefits for consumers. But since we are in this technology bubble in the pandemic context, first of all, I want to confirm that the session is being recorded, because I don't know if with the WebEx, if there is any icon. So it's all good. Very good. So I will give you a bit of the context of what is the digital euro, what is the digital currency, a cryptocurrency, because these currencies have been with us for quite some time already. The most famous one we all know is Bitcoin. But these digital currencies, more than a means of payment, digital means of payment, it's becoming more and more an investment tool. For example, nowadays I think Bitcoin is around 48,000 euros or dollars. Sorry, it's market value. And these digital currencies, cryptocurrencies, have a very bad publicity and reputation for two reasons. One is the fluctuation. So we saw Bitcoin going up and down, bubbling and bursting over the past years. But at the same time, they are used primarily by, let's say, dodgy organizations or terrorist organizations or for money laundering purposes, because it allows for this kind of criminal groups to make payments, distant payments, online payments, without leaving a trace, as a bank transfer will do. And that's why other organizations use these, let's say, offline banks or shadow banks to conduct this kind of payments and operations. So what happened is that in the summer of 2019, Facebook proposed to launch a digital currency, which was tackling precisely one of the flaws of the digital currencies that we knew until that date. And this currency was Libra. And the big difference with Libra was that it was backed by a basket of sovereign currencies. What it means is that because of this, let's say, being tied to a basket of currencies, sovereign currencies, it will be more stable. That's why it's called a stable coin. But at the same time, that implies a huge risk for the financial stability, because if Libra fluctuated, that could have an impact on the basket of currencies that was back in the currency. And at the same time, maybe the central banks will lose their power and their capacity to affect and to intermediate in the real economy, because there will be another means of payment with a huge impact, systemic impact, affecting how consumers pay their transactions and how the economy was flowing. I mean, we have to remember that when we speak about Facebook, we're talking about a network of 2 trillion users, 2 billion users, if I'm not wrong nowadays, or more than 2 billion users. So this is potentially a huge market that could have systemic impact on how the economy works. So that's why that summer, autumn of 2019, just before the pandemic, It was super hectic in terms of political statements, monetary decisions, central banks statements. We saw the Euro group, central banks, the G7, all coming against Libra and warning against the risk of Libra in terms of what I say, financial stability and sovereignty. And that's why we saw the different central banks coming together and starting to talk about developing their own digital currencies. And one of these banks was the European Central Bank. For example, Benoît Cœuré, who was a member of the central bank at that time, said that the Libra was a wake-up call for central banks to develop the digital euros. So this is a bit of the context. And now, just for you to know, as I said, this is not only a project of the European Central Bank. China has been the most advanced country developing a digital version of their own currency, of the yuan. They have been doing this for 5 years already, but they are still in the pilot project phase. But they are quite advanced in this pilot project phase. This is for you to for us to give you an idea of how much can take to develop a digital euro. So we are still in a very early stage of that development. Sweden has been also working on this. One of the last countries announcing that they will take this project very seriously is the US. The Federal Reserve said that it's a very high priority for us to develop a digital version of the dollar. And now the central bank, the European Central Bank. So we are in a phase, within the next few months, we could see what is the path that the European Central Bank is going to take when it comes to the digital euro. Why? Because they concluded, first of all, they put forward a report last autumn where they scope more or less what was the benefits, the risk, and possible, decisions that they needed to take. Then they launched a public consultation that concluded in January, and there were more than 8,000 responses received. And many of the concerns actually were related to privacy. We will mention, we will talk about this afterwards, why privacy? Because, I can tell you right now that if the European Central Bank issues digital euros and we have directly a deposit account in the central bank, that is a way of a public institution controlling, let's say, and monitoring our own deposit. So for libertarians, this is something very sensitive. What is going to happen, and this was announced by the ECB president in January, what is going to happen is that in the spring, most likely in April, once the central bank analyzed all the response received and keeps discussing internally the pros and cons of the digital euro, they're going to decide whether to move ahead or not. And how they will move ahead or not? By launching their own pilot project of the digital euro to continue, testing the different designs and features of the digital euro. So why the digital euro is so beneficial and at the same time so central banks are so concerned about the impacts? Basically, the digital euro will be, electronic money, so to say, issued by their own central bank. So, right now, if we take into account how the economic system works, there are already digital euros, so to say. But this is the version of the money that we have in our deposit accounts. But what will happen now is that it will be the ECB who will, let's say, allow us to have a deposit account in euros with them. So the consequences, if we think about that, the consequences are enormous, because if we have, let's say, our salaries paid normally to our normal bank, ING, Santander, or whatever, now we could tell our employers to pay us directly to our deposit account in the ECB. where we will have our digital euros. Why we will do that? Because as we saw over the past years, we have banking crisis. So at the end of the day, we know that our money will be more safer and more secure in the hands of the central bank, which is always the lender of last resort. But what will happen is that if we don't manage, if the digital euro is not well designed, people will move all the money they have in the normal euros, let's say, in the ones that you deposit from by notes and coins in your deposit account, you will transfer that money into digital euros in the deposit account that you will have with the central bank. So that will deplete, I mean, that will affect how two things, that will affect two things. How the banks finance themselves, because for banks, deposits are an important way to finance themselves, because then they do the long-term investments and they get their investment returns and yields and so on and so forth. And at the same time, banks, because of they will lose their relevance in the economic systems, they will lose an important, they won't play the important role that they play for the central banks, which is transmitting the economic monetary decisions, for example, providing credit, for example, being, well, especially that, providing those loans for the economy to either to, let's say, to spur growth or to control the economic, the flow of money. So that's why it's if they don't calibrate well how they make the transition, it could be very risky. But again, the benefits will be very big. Why? Because as we saw over the past years and especially during this pandemic, we're living in a digital world, and more what we do is paying with, I mean, it's becoming a cashless society. And if we don't, I mean, if the central bank, the different central banks, they don't issue a digital currency, someone else will do it because there is a need there. So in the case of Europe, if the central bank, European Central Bank doesn't do it, Facebook will do it, Google will do it, or Apple will do it, or another European company will do it. But especially because of the context that we're living about, today, the risk is that it will be not only a private company, but it will be a foreign company. And this has important implications in terms of what we call the international role of the euro and the European sovereignty, which is one of the big issues nowadays for Europe. Yes, Catherine.
I had two questions, yes. Actually, Jorge. One question was, how is it possible that a private company could create a currency backed by sovereign currencies? Is it legally possible? And then perhaps you have to, the time as well to tell us what is exactly the situation, current situation of the banking system? Are there particular concerns over the health of the financial system? So there are two different questions.
Yes. The first one, I mean, this is not like an official currency, but at the end of the day, it's a token. I mean, there is a lot of discussion. It will be money, if it won't be money. The central bank says it's not money because of different attributes that it doesn't have, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, it will be a token used. If it's, for example, issued by Facebook, it will be a token used by more than 2 billion people, as I said, in the transactions, in the payment system that Facebook will have with its own online shopping. So it will become a very extended and common token. And maybe Facebook could pair with other applications and they could be used by other online providers. So it could be extended. So as I said, the thing, when we think about Facebook, the important issue to remember is its systemic importance and how frequent is used nowadays by many people, especially young people. And then for the banking system, well, I mean, First of all, the banking system, European banking system, compared with the US system, US banking system, is always been two steps behind, especially in terms of the profitability. So the margins of profitability are always they are always well below the US banking system. And on top of that, now we have the impact of the pandemic. So far, in terms of the famous non-performing loans, the bad loans, those who are due, the impact has been contained. But of course, the banking regulators and the central bank expect that the impact is going to, the negative impact of the pandemic is going to start to be translated into in these bad loans increasing, like those who haven't been repaid. So of course there's gonna be instability, or there's gonna be a negative footprint of the pandemic in the banking system. But now, when we talk about the impact of the digital euro, there are some reports that they are already warning that in terms of deposit, 1 trillion euros deposit, worth deposit, will move from the banking system to the European Central Bank. And this 1 trillion euros is a very important bedrock for the banking system to finance, because this money is usually the stable source of, let's say, financing they have, because of it's for example, the money, the deposits they get through salaries, so on and so forth. So this is a very stable source of financing that they use for their investments. And without this money, they will have to think about new sources of financing for banks. So, as I said, I mean, if you don't manage the transition well, it could be very risky. And here, the central bank, I mean, first of all, that's why pilot projects everywhere in the world, we spoke about China before and now in Europe, they are doing it step by step. So in the case of euro, there was the report, the public consultation. They will see about the pilot project, but most likely it's going to happen because Lagarde and the Guindos, who is the vice president of the central bank, they said that it's going to happen. But there are already designs that you can implement in order to avoid this earthquake. One of them will be to limit the deposits that you can have in digital euros. One option would be, for example, that after that threshold, you are redirected to a deposit account, a standard account. And the other one is to penalize deposits above a certain threshold. For example, in terms of, negative rates, so 1 euro, digital euro, after that threshold is not the same that a normal euro. These are options that are currently being discussed. But one of figure that the central bank already has given is a possible threshold, and this is 3,000 euros. So above 3,000 euros in the digital euros, the central bank will either redirect or penalize those deposits. Why 3,000 euros? Panetta, who is the member of the central bank dealing with the digital euros, said that this is above the average that we hold in cash, in our deposits, and also because this is also above the average of many of the salaries that are paid in Europe nowadays. So it's a way to control that the digital euro won't be also used as a sort of long-term investment or investment tool or things like that.
May I ask a question, which may sound a little bit surprising in this context? It's about climate change, because I've read that producing digital euros consumes enormous mass of energy.
Yes, I mean, more than, it's not only the digital euro, it's any digital currency. I mean, especially with Bitcoin, we have seen that the energy, I mean, because how this, I mean, anything based by computers, the energy consumption is huge. And in the case of Bitcoin, for example, they need to mine the currencies. The impact of the digital euro will depend on what is the technology that the digital euro will use, which is not clear yet. We don't know if it will be blockchain, which is this decentralized ledger, which is the technology used for Bitcoins. If it will be another kind of network, we don't know that yet, because one of the issues they want to tackle is the privacy. As I said, this was one of the main concerns by the respondents of the public consultation, because for these decentralized public ledgers, that like the one behind blockchain, what they allow is that everybody keeps the anonymity, because there is no let's say middlemen keeping the control of the network. But if the blockchain is controlled by the ECB, that means that the ECB will have an overall picture of who is behind each of the bank deposits. Or maybe it will be another central ledger, or sorry, maybe it will be another technology where the ECB has information of the operations of the bank, the accounts, deposits of every user. So as I said, for those who are very jealous of the privacy, as I mean, someone should be, they don't want maybe their public authorities, their regulators, to know what they're doing with their money, or to basically what salaries they get, because maybe they will think that the central bank could cross the data with the tax authorities or without their permission, or who knows what. So these are concerns that are there, and they are important, but these are not the only ones. For example, for Lagarde, one of the key issues will be, at the same time that you respect the privacy, how you avoid that the digital euro doesn't become an instrument for money laundering and for, as we said, for financing a criminal organization, which was one of the tools or one of the options and the reasons why it was used by some criminals.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you say that the threshold of or the maximum deposit that can be done potentially, yes, this is still to be decided, is 3,000 euros, of course, criminal networks, yes, will not be very much interested, unless, of course, they create hundreds of small deposit accounts. But okay, that remains to be seen. But there is a lot of savings at the moment in the economy. I mean, there is a lot of savings. Savings are very, very many at the moment. Savings are huge, no? Sorry, can you hear me? Okay. Savings are huge. Yes. Okay, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Now, yes. Okay. Sorry about that.
So there was a problem. I was asking about the fact that there are huge amounts of savings, because people are not getting richer for a vast majority of the population. But on the other hand, people are, as usual, worried about the future, so they don't spend. And also spending is a bit of a problem. So the impression is that there are huge masses of money that are sitting on bank accounts. I don't know what your vision of...
First of all, I mean, while you're talking about the huge amounts of bank deposits that we are having today, is very much related to the pandemic situation. When we talk about the digital euro, as I said, this is not for now, this is not for tomorrow, this is not even for 2 years' time. Like I said, that it will take maybe 5 years, around 5 years, for the digital euro to see the light of day, or maybe more, who knows. China has been working on this for 5 years already, so we don't know how long will it take. But of course, we will benefit also from the experiences of other countries. About what you're talking about what you're the huge amount of cash that is there or money that is there, I think this is related to the savings that people are doing because they cannot spend because of the confinement and the restrictive measures, and at the same time because of the stimulus of many countries are putting into place, especially for example in the US, where they are giving checks to citizens. With the latest Biden stimulus, they're going to receive another $1,400 check to pay. It's going to be like the roaring 20s again somehow. I mean, people are going to have a lot of money to spend. So for sure, I think this end of this summer and onwards, people are going to have a lot of money to spend on hopefully on the holidays, on restaurants, and online, of course. And now people are spending that money online because they can spend it online. So we're going to see a second, let's say, boost or a new boost, private boost, on top of that public, let's say, stimulus that was given by member states, either through investment projects or through, let's say, giving tech support and grants to companies, or by other means. But I mean, we don't know yet how this is gonna move forward, because first of all, we don't know how the pandemic is gonna evolve. This is very much linked to the new variants of the virus. This is very much linked to the vaccine developments, the vaccination rate, and depends on how the pandemic evolves. We will see a return to the economic normality sooner or later. But for sure, there are a huge amount of savings that as soon as we can spend, everybody's going to spend. Because, I mean, I think everybody, starting with ourselves and our circle around, everybody's eager to go outside and have a normal life again, travel, eat outside, drink, spend. So many people haven't bought clothes for a year. So I think definitely we're going to see a very big peak in private consumption that, of course, is going to have an impact on the GDP as a whole.
Let's wait and see. Of course, that's still the situation today and many uncertainties. But perhaps to wrap it up in a way, I should say this unconventional project, digital euro, is in a way a response to an issue of sovereignty, the sovereignty of Europe, of the ECB. And this sovereignty is the very heart, in a way. Monetary policy is the heart, one of the hearts of sovereignty, of course, is at stake. Am I correct to say that?
Totally correct. So let's say three stages. First stage, there was a need to keep improving the digital economy ecosystem with a digital token. Who saw that need first? Private companies, in this case, Facebook, systemic impact, and US company. So considering what's going on nowadays with the huge amount of power that the digital companies have, ECB and other central banks say, wait a second, we're going to fill that vacuum and we're going to speed up the work and the process to launch our digital euro, because otherwise someone else is going to do it. So let's say this was more or less the sequencing. And as you said, all this is happening in a context where Europe is very much aware of the consequences of its dependency and the consequences of how important it is to keep its sovereignty vis-a-vis China and the US. So let's see what is going to happen. And all of that, on top of that, the important debate on the international role of the euro and how Europe wants to strengthen its weight vis-a-vis the dollar, especially not only for international payments, but for deposits, foreign deposits, where the euro is is quite behind the dollar. I mean, they don't attempt to challenge the dominant role of the dollar because it's far away, but at least they can narrow the gap. And in that regard, of course, the digital euro can play a role, but more importantly, something that we didn't mention, the recovery and resilience facility. Why? Because we're going to issue a huge amount of European debt. And this is, in fact, introducing the famous euro bond through the back door, because there's going to be so much euro debt in the market that's going to make the euro debt more liquid. And certainly, step by step, by having this immense pool of euro debt in the markets, de facto creating the famous euro bonds.
Wow. Thank you very much, Mr. Valero, for these explanations. We were very happy to look into this new challenge for our understanding of economics, and Radio Economica is very much about that, and look into an important file for the future. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you very much, and see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.